This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Only on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Price and David Cruz.
Welcome back to Faith Matters, Ryan Price and David Cruz, and we are sitting here today in the studio with Judge Sam Medina, who is currently the city attorney for the city of Lubbock and has formerly served in various capacities as district judge and other positions as well, and is a great community leader and someone is certainly a person of faith and lives that out publicly, and we are just very pleased to have you with us here today, Judge Medina.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Ryan, and you too, Pastor David. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that is mine to be here with you today.
Ryan, it's great to have Judge Medina with us, someone I know you and I have spoken about as someone we admire and someone that I think is held in high esteem by our community. So, Judge, welcome. I was thinking the other day of this very wonderful lady who will come to one of our masses on the weekend, and as she greets me, she said, or she'll say, "You fed my soul today." Mm. Now, I've been doing this long enough to know that it's actually God that does the feeding. And then sometimes and very often.
And don't confuse those two.
Right. And sometimes and very often he does it in spite of me and all of my human weaknesses and foibles. But I thought it would be a great to ask Judge Medina to begin our conversation with him today. Who feeds his soul? Any particular person, writer, a prayer, an experience even, Judge, that you find you go back to as a kind of touchstone that gives you inspiration and that feeds your soul?
I think it's both a who and a what. I always go back to that 16-year-old young man who realized that I had religion but no relationship with God. And then I heard my father-in-law, the man that became my father-in-law in years later, he said, you know, relationship is what God seeks. Religion is man's attempt to try to get to a relationship. And he says, you got to make that connection. And as a 16-year-old, it finally hit me that I needed a relationship with God through his son, Jesus. So every morning when I wake up, and the older that I get, I'm beginning to understand grace more. I have this undeserved, merited favor of God, his salvation, and that feeds me every morning. As God is my witness, this morning when I looked out the window and I was thinking about 10,000 other things that I've got on my mind. And just the sun and the trees and everything reminds me that, you know, this is the day the Lord has made, and I like to add that he made it for me. Huh. So my experience in the Lord many years ago, that feeds me. And then I think scripture. I think you can read God's word not as you must, but as a meal. I love the Psalms. I love the Apostle Paul. I mean, such an intelligent, spiritual man. And I like to read, and it feeds me. And finally, I think people, the everyday people that I hear, people that I notice. I like to read words of inspiration every morning in the AJ. Somebody has something to say. And if we listen closely, it's a grandchild or someone else driving by, a person that you feel is homeless. Feed your soul in making you aware that there's needy people. It does.
That's awesome. Now,
as you speak, I think God must speak in many ways, many voices, through people, through grandchildren, through reading. It's trying to get in and say something to us in all sorts of kinds of ways, maybe through birds, and even Jesus himself spoke in that way, that he spoke about God by looking at birds and grass. And
you're so right about that. One day, there was a good friend of mine. You may have known him, Pastor David, John Gashin.
He knew John, yes.
Very well. You know, he used to live across the street from me before he went on to heaven. One day, he called me over and he said, he didn't call me Judge. He didn't call me Mr. He'd say, Sam. And I'd say, Mr. Gashin. And I went over. And he says, you know, I was just reading, he says, scripture, and I was thanking God for all his wonderful things. And I believe that I want to go, and I want you to join me. And he says, I love this pear tree that I have. And he said, I'd like to thank God, and I want you to join me in thanking him for the beauty of nature, the beauty of his gifts. And I said, Mr. Cashin, if you told me to go walk the town and back, I'd do that. But this one's an easy one. And, you know, I was blessed in a second-hand way, so to speak, because God was talking to John Cashin, and he was praising God for his creation, and he included me. So, Pastor Ryan, he does do that. He speaks through everyday things, everyday people, in all that we do. God is there. God is present. You know, the soul rejoices. It feeds my soul, Pastor David.
What you're saying, I couldn't agree with more, and I wish that all of us, myself included, could see God in all those moments in the sacred, in nature, in that pear tree, in the beauty of the sunrise, and then in other people. But I think equally it's a challenge to see God in what isn't so beautiful, in some of the strife in this world of ours, in suffering and pain and loss and disappointment. How are we able still to see the hand of God at work in some of those situations? How do you do that?
I think that any of us, any human being that says, I believe in God, I believe in his son, I trust in God, I know that he is with me. How can we see the Lord Jesus Christ, called him the least of these, and not feel something? How can we just go by and ignore someone? How many times have we seen, I'm sure you've had this experience, you're driving by, and on the other side of the freeway or something, you see someone pushing a cart, and you think, what can I do to help this individual? But you know what? Our daily cares and everything that goes on, we're in a rush, we're in a hurry. Sometimes, I don't know if you've done this, but you turn around and you go looking for that individual. And sometimes you have what you have in your pocket and you say, here you go. There's somebody out there trying. In the people that are suffering, God is there. It's not that he wants them suffering, but he's looking at us. What, San Medina, what are you doing about this? How are you helping? And if you can't help everybody, how about that one? And of course, we have to see God even in the suffering. We have to have his compassion, his mercy.
We're here with a very accomplished lawyer and someone who has spent a considerable amount of their professional life working for justice. When we come back, I want to ask Judge Medina about another person who was a lawyer, a country lawyer, in fact, someone who dedicated his life to justice, my favorite president, President Lincoln.
You always bring up Lincoln.
I try. God knows I try.
When we come back with Judge Sam Medina and also President Abraham Lincoln, you're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, with your hosts Ryan Price and David Cruz. Brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Ryan Price sitting here with David Cruz, and today we are having the joy of having in our studio Judge Sam Medina, who currently serves as the city attorney for our city of Lubbock and is someone who's been a civic leader and judge here for many years. Very pleased to have you with us. And before the break, David, you were going to say something about President Lincoln, yours and my favorite president.
Of course, Lincoln, we know, had so many great wisdom sayings, and he was so wise in so many ways. One of the things he said was that, on the whole, mercy bears richer fruits than any other human attribute. Judge, is it easier to dispense mercy than it is to dispense justice? Because I would think it would be. What is the difference between those two attributes, values, mercy and justice, and how in your life have you exercised those and dispensed those?
You know, I think that any person that is put in a situation where you have to do that, I think you must temper justice. Now, justice must prevail. Otherwise, you have no country, you have no home, you have no city, you have chaos. But you temper justice with mercy. I think they work one with the other. And I think you'll hear oftentimes lawyers say that. You must temper justice with mercy. Obviously, it's the one that is representing the person that's going to get punished. But it's more than just an argument. It's true. I think that justice, pure justice without any mercy, is a cold, hard set of rules and it has no feeling. The rules are the rules. I mean, think about it. Even the Apostle Paul, when he was being persecuted, said, well, you know what? I'll just appeal to Caesar. There's your law. I'll go that route. And so he was saying, I believe in justice. Yet, did he not represent he who is just known for his mercy, the Lord Jesus Christ? He who has no sin, cast the first stone. That's mercy. And that's justice. And he's tempering. He wasn't condemning. He was saying, no problem. I think there's examples all over about tempering justice with mercy. And I think perhaps the President Lincoln was that way. I mean, think about it. He stood for the law. He was a lawyer. In fact, he, one of my favorite sayings as a lawyer, and not in the same league ever as President Lincoln, but he said, you know, a lawyer's stock and trade, you know, is his advice and his time. So is that your stock and trade? That's how you're going to make a living. But then that's not all he says. He goes on and says that you must be wise in the advice you give. Not just smart, but wise. And I think tempering justice with mercy, I think, brings wisdom.
I think wisdom sometimes is knowing what to mete out at that particular time, whether it's knowing the dosage of mercy or justice, what is appropriate for this particular occasion.
Absolutely. Pastor Ryan, let me tell you. Well, I was on the bench for 15 years, and I thought, you know, justice, you know, we must enforce it. It must be there, or else it's chaos. And I did not want, in a criminal case, if a person was found guilty, I did not want it to be a fun time. I wanted the individuals to know that this was serious. Yet, I think if anybody looks back at the sentences that I would give, they were a lot less than anybody else's. Why? Because I think I got their attention by being extra firm. And I mean, people would go, I don't want to go back in that man's court again. Yet, the sentences were less. And it was my way of trying to help them to make it an unpleasant experience where you don't want to come back. You don't want to be back there. And yet, temper that with he or she has an opportunity to go off and maybe make something of their lives without just completely chopping their head off.
This distinction between retributive justice or punishment and something that's more restorative. It seems like you're talking about, even in the midst of one's proceedings, there already being a kind of restorative process to try to, well, bring some redemption to someone's humanity after perpetrating something.
Yes. In fact, think about our laws. In the state of Texas, is, for example, a first-degree felony, a murder, for example. Do you realize a jury can decide on between 5 and 99 years? That's, you know, there's 94 years difference. They can decide. We as a jury will sentence this individual to no less than 5 or no more than 99 or life imprisonment. You talk about a range of punishment because, see, exactly what you said, Pastor. Every case stands on its own merits. And there are some first-degree felonies that may merit a 5-year term. I'm not saying murder necessarily, but I mean, I don't know. There are some cases like that that may merit 5. There are some that merit life. And I think that is the opportunity that the system provides us to temper justice with mercy, to look at a case on a case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm. I was intrigued a moment ago, Judge, when you said, comparatively speaking, if you looked at some of my sentences alongside the sentences that were meted out by other judges, an argument might be made that I gave a lighter sentence. What intrigues me is that in a society where there is a perception of being soft on crime, that somehow we're meeting out justice to the degree that we need to do it. I mean, in Texas, my gosh, we execute more people than any other state in the union. And a lot of that is because of public opinion. But it goes to this. It would seem to me that a judge would have to have such great self and inner strength to be able to say, I'm going to give a sentence because I know it is the right thing to do, independent of the criticism that I might receive. It just must require great inner strength.
Well, I tell you, Pastor, when you think in terms of justice, you see, there's several terms here that we must look at. No doubt that we must have accountability. People, we all must be accountable. If we're not going to be accountable, by the time you get to a court, they're going to be accountable. trust me, as my job as a judge was to make them accountable. Because they didn't want to be, fine, I will make you accountable. And then that is justice. But yet justice is a word which means what? Well, at the end of the day, the punishment you mete out, was it just? Was the punishment itself just? You see, accountable, yes, but the punishment must be just.
What a marvelous conversation, isn't it? I could sit here and listen to Judge Medina for hours. When we come back, I do want us to talk about bridge builders and who Judge Medina sees as someone who has been a bridge builder for him.
You're listening to 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
This is Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, hosted by Ryan Price and David Cruz, and brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price, along with David Cruz on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, sitting here today with Judge Sam Medina and having a wonderful conversation about faith and justice and mercy. And so much appreciate your heart and the way in which you've approached your work as a public servant for all these many years.
Thank you so much, Ryan. I'll tell you, I don't know how this is going to sound, but I'll tell you, I feel to this day and will for the rest of my life the privilege of having been able to do that. The grave responsibility placed upon me by the people in saying, do the right thing. And I think during break we were talking about how I'm sure I made mistakes in judgment, but I guarantee you it wasn't because out of a lack of sincerity in what I believed. It was just a mistake as a human, a fallible human being.
I appreciate that sense of humility. That's something that I feel like we really need in our public servants. Hey, let's face it, we need in our pastors too.
Absolutely.
A sense of, you know, I'm not God. I don't see all things. I see through a glass darkly.
Absolutely.
But yet, going with your gut and making the hard call.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we're blessed to see others. You know, as a judge, we had a local judge here by the name of Judge Bill Shavers. He was a judge's judge. And then one of my mentors, personal mentors as a judge, is Judge John Boyd. He was judge of the 64th Judicial State Judicial District Court in Plainview. Then went to be the Chief Justice of the 7th Court of Appeals. And I promise you that many times I would take a page out of his book, so to speak, and I got to learn from them.
What was it that they taught you?
Well, not to be robe heavy. to remember that really a court belongs to the people. It belongs to the people that want to be there and need to be there, who are calling out to the rest of the community and saying, either 6 of you or 12 of you, come up here and settle this dispute. And it's not about the judge. It's about the parties. Mm-hmm. And every time I took a file and I opened it up, it wasn't just documents in there. It was people that were represented by those documents. And they were placing their faith in our judicial system. And as a judge, I think it was my duty to do what Judge Shavers and Judge Boyd did, and that is let it be a true center for justice, a place where people can feel like, well, I gave it my best shot. Now, does that mean everybody's happy when they leave? No. Huh. Some people are happy, some are not. Sometimes neither one of them. But they got their opportunity, and the people heard them.
Earlier today, knowing we were going to interview Judge Sam Medina, I went back and I found a poem that I have loved over the years, very meaningful to me, and it's too long to go through the whole poem, but I wanted to quote the last couple of lines because I think they apply to Judge Medina. So I see him as someone who has built an awful lot of bridges for people and still does. But it says in part, good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been not to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building the bridge for him. Who's been a bridge builder for you, Judge?
I've had several. And I know our time is not, we don't have all day, but I'll tell you, and you hear this all the time, parents.
Hmm.
Parents are more than just mom and dad. They're the ones that said, look, you can get from where I am, which my dad, we taught my dad to read when I was in the eighth grade. He had no formal education. My mom had a third grade education. But they so encouraged me and others along the way, not just to finish high school, but go on to college and follow, pursue that dream. And they told me, don't let anybody steal that dream. So they're the bridge. You know, my wife is a tremendous individual. During those very, you know, young married years, I need to go work instead of going to law school. And she says, nope, go on to law school. We'll make it. They're bridge builders. Drayton McLean, a fellow who used to own the Houston Astros, and he sold the Astros. I had the good fortune of meeting him when I was a younger man. And he told me once, he says, you know, Sam, most people can tell you where they're going on vacation 3 to 6 months from now, but they really can't tell you where their life will be a year from now. They have no plan for their life. It just going to happen. They're just day to day. And he asked me, what's your plan for your life? And I didn't have one. And he taught me to have a plan for my life. I wanted to be when Drayton and I finished, I wanted to be a lawyer for 20 years. Well, and I wanted to be a judge. Then I wanted to combine both of those and do something else. 19 years, 6 months after I start practicing law, I'm sitting on the court's bench. I wanted to do that for 15 years. 14 years, 9 months later, I'm sitting at the city attorney's office, combining what I'd learned to something else. And now I'm doing this phase of that plan. Bridge builders, so many of them. My father-in-law, who was a spiritual mentor to me, a pastor who has passed away, Eugenio Valenzuela, who was another spiritual mentor for me. So many bridge builders.
When you say all these people who have affected your life, shaped you, built these bridges, I think of what Jesus said about to whom much is given, much is required. And so being on the other side, what kind of responsibility do you feel to be the person who then in turn builds bridges? And what are you thinking about those younger people who may be coming up to follow in the same footsteps?
I don't miss an opportunity to go speak to any group. I mean, I do not. And it's always the same story. Now, here's what I was taught. Here's how it's blessed me. Let me share it with you. And I'll tell you, on a yearly basis, I don't know. I don't know how many times I get the privilege of doing that. You know, a lot of it in tech, a lot of graduations, a lot of things, and a lot of one-on-one. What I'm seeing is some of the parents might have their child call me, and I'm accessible there at the office. And they'll call, and we'll set up an appointment, and they'll come in, and we'll talk. We'll talk about college. We'll talk about plan, about life's plan. We'll talk about those things. And really, it's an easy thing. It's just sharing what I was given, sharing it with other people. And saying, look, it worked for me, and if it worked for me, it'll work for you. And in a nutshell, I think trying to teach them that you have to have words to live by, that's an Abraham Lincoln thing. He always believed that people had to have words that they lived by. And I think we ought to be known for those words. You know, are we a mentor or are we a meddler, you know?
Words to live by. What are those words for you?
Well, there's so many of them. I think you need to be not only giving, but you ought to be magnanimous. That's beyond that. Courage. Courage is more than being brave and fighting somebody. It's courage is not doing sometimes the things that others want you to do when you know it's not right. Or doing things when it's not popular. Doing it. You know, diligence. Not only doing it on time, but doing it for the right reasons. I mean, I can go on with words. You know, I think even being a husband, you know. I mean, am I the best husband I can be? Am I the best father I can be? Am I the best friend I can be? There's so many things there that I hadn't achieved it, but I can sure continue to strive.
Judge, thank you for this very profound, compelling, provocative, interesting conversation with you. As I said a moment ago, you strike me as someone who has been a builder of bridges. And for those of us who have been impacted by your life, your work, your ministry, I say thank you.
Thank you. God
Likewise.
Bless.
Likewise. You've been listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. You can catch us online at kttz.org.